Hello, everyone. It's Pastor Rod Plummer here from Tokyo, Japan. I've got a question for you right up front. Can people change? Well, I've been a pastor for 35 years, my wife and I, and we've seen God's help the people change. There's an old saying that can a leopard change his spots? Well, poor old leopard, no, he can't. But we're human beings and we can change our thinking. Today's foundation is all about foundation stone or solid foundation is all about adding change thinking. And a change thinking will change your life. Would you agree with me? When you change your thinking successfully with God's help, you will change your life for the better, for the better, for the better. Jesus said, the thief comes to take and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life, life to the abundance. And a lot of that is a change thinking from our past, from our present, and even the future concepts. If we can change our thinking to align with God's thinking, wow, we're going to be positive. We're going to have hope. We're going to have expectation. We're going to get ready for the good things that God has for us. So we're going to read our key scripture. This is a series called Solid Foundations, week two, called Repentance. And I'm going to reframe this word for you. It's going to be so exciting. I hope you're excited because this leopard has changed his spots and that leopard has changed his spots with God's help. Here we go. Hebrews 6 verse 1. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God, instruction about baptisms, laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, and God permitting we will do so. So foundation is Jesus. He's the rock. He's the rock. He's the crucified, resurrected rock of our lives. And we believe in the resurrection power and the Holy Spirit in our lives. Right. So these are talking about extra truths that are like foundations. And the first one is this word, repentance from dead works. Repentance from dead works. And when I hear that, it sounds like a lot of hard work. And I've got some good news because I want to ask a question. What's in a word? Is the meaning of a single word that important? And the answer is yes. Because if we get the wrong idea about this concept of repentance, we're not adding the right foundation stone to our lives. And I want to tell you, I believe that the word repentance is an old word, an old English word. It actually comes from Latin. And there are better words. I want to tell you the better words today from the original Greek language. Are you ready for some exciting truths? This will change your thinking, this will change your mind, and it will change your lives. Now, most Bibles here have the word repentance. A few Bibles have the word turn, the concept of turn. I used to be a fireman, did you know that, when I was a young man? And as a fireman, I had to learn how to walk, how to march, how to salute. Well, actually, not like that. I think that's from some countries. It's like that, had to be absolutely perfect. And then the marching stop. And then there was the order about turn, and you turn 180 degrees and stop. Well, that's more like the word repentance right there. It means to about face, turn, change on a dime, change on the moment. And I love that about repentance, because that is truly one of the concepts of repentance, is it is now. Immediate. I can change now. I can turn now with God's help. And I want to tell you that my word for repentance today is going to be change your thinking. This really helps me a lot, because when I came to Jesus, I'd done some bad things and my past was right there, was right there. Yes, Jesus, you're amazing, your promises, but my past is right there. And the devil would press on that. You know what I mean? Flashbacks and thoughts and you're no good. And I had to have an experience of repentance or experience of changed mind with God's help. There it is. Changed mind is a foundation stone of our lives. Changed. Who wants to have a changed mind? Who wants to leave the past behind? Who wants to get rid of old thoughts? And you'll never get rid of old memories, but the power of old memories will go, and the power of God's new thoughts will come. And so we're future-oriented, not past-dependent. We're going to change. become more and more like Jesus. I'm not broken anymore. I'm being healed. I'm being restored. I'm being changed. Repentance is an incredible word with God's help. Now, not just can I change, but I can change anywhere. It doesn't have to be in a church building. Some people say, I've got to get to church to repent. No. Repentance is as you think, God, change my mind. That's it right there. It could be at work or on the sports field, in your bed. It could be anywhere. Now, repentance can also be any time. It could be in the middle of washing the dishes or going for a walk with your family. It could be just this new thought and this revelation and, wow, I don't want that old way, that old dead word. I don't want that. That's hurting me and my life. I want what God has. That's repentance right there. So repentance can happen anywhere and anytime and anyhow. I mean, you don't even have to, you know, pray in this way or on your knees. Just where you're sitting, you could be watching a really nice movie and it's really touching you and a thought comes from God and a change of mind occurs. That's repentance. It's anywhere, anytime, anyhow with God's help. And I'm going to tell you how the Holy Spirit's going to help you today, because there are incredible promises of a changed mind in Jesus' name. So we're going to read this one more time. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of, well, the big foundation is Jesus. He's the cornerstone and he's the main one. And then these other parts are these doctrines, this changed mind from the past, changed mind from who I was, changed mind from the old rod. That sounds great. I want that. Let's talk about that foundation stone. You know, in chapter 5, Hebrews chapter 5, we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Some people think maybe Paul or maybe Barnabas or maybe Apollos, probably one of those guys. And it's written in incredibly high Greek language, the highest level Greek in the whole New Testament. A very well organized person who comes from a Jewish background, and he's talking to Jewish people who are backsliding, who are starting to turn a little bit back to their old life. And he says here in chapter 5, verse 12, by this time you ought to be teachers, but you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. And I want to say to you, I believe that we can all teach something in life. And some people say, I'm not a leader or I'm not a talker. But you know what? We're all teaching by our lives. You know, you might have the role of a father. You might also be a worker. You might also be a team player. You might, or you might be a mother. You might be a lady worker, high level or education or whatever it is. We've got different roles. So don't say you're not a teacher. Everyone teaches somebody something in life. They do. And what this writer is saying is you ought to have these basic doctrines in place, Jesus and a changed mind and baptism, some of the other things, an understanding of end times and what's going to happen when I die. You've got to get this in place to chart an incredible future with God, right? Right? Okay? So I want to tell you what it is and what it's not, repentance. And as I come to the end of the point, this is point one, what it is and what it's not, I'm going to redefine it from the Bible. So what is it? What is this word repentance or to repent? Well, it's used 56 times in the New Testament. It's a major New Testament word. Here we go. Repentance is the Greek word metanoia, metanoia. We're not going to do much more Greek in this lesson. But it's a combination word and it means change the mind, meta change. It's like metamorphosis, meta change, noia mind. What does repentance means? It means change the mind, change your thinking, change from stinking thinking, past thinking, wrong thinking, whatever thinking, change the mind, meta noia. Whenever you read it, Jesus said, repent for the kingdom of God is near. He's saying, change your thinking with God's help because God's kingdom is near and it's going to change everything. So when we understand what it is, meta noia, it means change the mind. And that comes, my mind is inside. So it's firstly an internal change, which can happen quickly, followed by and about face on the outside. So there is an external change, but it comes from a first change of the heart, spirit, soul, emotions, mind, inside. Change with God's help. Change with God's help. Jesus says, change with God's help, because the kingdom of God is near to you right now. You're going to receive grace and love and joy and patience and goodness and kindness, and get ready to receive, because we can change now. The Merriam-Webster dictionary gets it right. Amazing. I guess they usually do. It defines repentance as a transformative change of heart. Ooh, I love that. I love that. Jesus says, hey, have a transformative change of heart, because the kingdom of God is coming close and it's going to change your life. And I love that. A transformative change of heart. So Jesus is the key foundation. And the next one is a change of heart, a change of thinking, followed by an outward change. What is it? What is repentance? Metanoia, change the mind. And when we come a bit later to read some scriptures, I'm just going to use the concept of change your thinking, change your mind, change your mind, change your mind. Can a leopard change its spots? Yes. With God's help, change your mind. Can I renew my thinking? Yes. God's going to help you. God's going to help you today. That's why it's so important in our building a foundation. And then on that foundation, we can start to build our marriage and our job and build some things. And when the storms of life come, we've got our Jesus, we've got our changed thinking, we can start to build higher and higher. You got some dreams and visions? Come on, this is for you. Now, what it's not, what is repentance not? It's not emotions. It's not emotions. And it's not doing something over and over and over. The word repent usually in English means do it again. So it just means this endless loop of I don't want to do it again and all that sort of thing. But let me tell you what it's not. It's not emotions. It's not feelings. It's not crying or tears. I've been in some nations and been in church meetings where people all around me are crying so much that the tears are literally dropping off their face. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. The tears are dropping off their face. And there's actually a pool of water from the tears on the ground. And afterwards, there was no change. There was no change. And although I'm not judging the person, I'm thinking, well, that's not really helpful. That's not helpful. You see, if you think you've got to have an emotional experience to change, you've got the wrong idea. And unfortunately, repentance usually has the concept of emotions. It's not tears. It's not good intentions, like I will change, I will do that, and then you don't. It's not good intentions. It's not, in fact, there's an old saying, I was looking it up, it's an old saying in English that the road to hell is marked with good intentions. In other words, I'm going to, but no change. It's an old saying from the 500 years ago. And then someone else wrote it 100 years ago. Yeah, that road also has lost opportunities. The concept of I want to, but I don't. And I want to tell you, God's plan for us is not this carrot out here. You can have it if you... No. I get it now because I'm a son of God, or you're a son or daughter of God. So what it's not is emotion. It's not intentions. I'm going to. I want to. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is not self-pity or self-harm. A lot of people almost want to hit themselves or cut themselves or hurt themselves or go through this internal rage. I mean, on the outside, you might be smiling, but on the inside, there's an internal rage or even self-pity, poor me, and you think that's repentance, but it's not. It's not repentance. If there's no change in any of these, you can have emotions and change, but that's not the point. The point is the change. So if there's emotions, great. If there's not, great. Doesn't matter. If there's tears, great. If there's no tears, great. It's not that. It's the changed thinking by the power of God. Come on, we can do this. It's not saying, oh, yeah, I get that. That's not repentance. Oh, I get it. You know, as a pastor, sometimes people say to me, oh, Pastor, that was a great reminder of God's truths. And the way it's said is like, I know it all. I know it all. And I've got a really good friend, Alex, in our church, and I love what he always says. He comes to church and he always says, God, what are you going to say to me today? There's going to be something good today. And he always comes home, goes home saying, wow, got a great takeaway. And I think that's the concept of changed thinking, is there's going to be something. That's what journaling is all about. When I journal today, it might be the something I've read 100 times, but it's the expectation of changed thinking. God's going to speak to me about my life, my job, my family, my attitudes, my responses. God is going to speak. There's going to be power. I'm going to have change in that area. That's the power of hearing the voice of God. And so repentance is not sad. Repentance is a change of thinking. Wow. That sort of sets me free. So where did we get the word repentance from? Well, it's an old Latin word. The Bible was first written in Greek, the New Testament, then translated to Latin. And many words we have are from Latin. Repentance comes from the Latin word penance, or to try to make right. And it also talks about repentance is acts of penance. So in the Middle Ages, they would sometimes they would hurt themselves or say so many prayers or pay money or have to do something. And that we got to get rid of that. So the word repentance or penance, that's not anything to do with metanoia, change the mind. I don't know how it happened. In fact, it was such a bad translation into Latin that the Latin church leaders actually didn't like it. Tertullian, who I really like some of his quotes and amazing early church leader, he's the one that said that the blood of the martyrs is the seeds of the church. In other words, wherever there's people died for the gospel, there's going to be gospel growth. So Tertullian's an interesting early church, not in the Bible, early church writer. And he says that he protested this change from change the mind to penance. And he said that metanoia is not a confession of sins, but a change of mind. That's what he said. I've actually got a quote here. I won't tell you where it's from, but Tertullian, metanoia, repentance, is not a confession of sins, but a change of mind. You see, people can confess their sins, but then they think, well, I did that. I can go and do it again. No. Repentance is a change of mind about that thing, that thing that hurt, that past, that sin. It's hurtful. It's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt my family. It's going to hurt God. It's going to hurt the world. That's changing your thinking. And so Tertullian didn't like this word repentance. It came from the Latin. Now, Martin Luther, living 500 years ago in Germany, he was the father of the Protestant Reformation. And that's where we get the first there was a modern German Bible. Then there was a modern English Bible, came out of Martin Luther. Very, very important man. And he simply said, repentance is not confession, penance, and feelings of, you know, I'm so bad. No. He said repentance is simply a change of mind. So I'm not alone when I say to you the concept of repentance should be change the mind, change the mind. I've even read some Bible commentators when the Bible was translated from Greek or Latin to English or to many other languages. In fact, in Japanese, it's a very, very long word that it's sort of like repentance in English. The Greek word is metanoia, change the mind. Some Bible commentators say it's not a great translation. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave it in my Bible as repentance. I'm not going to make a big deal. But when I read the word repent, I'm going to change it with Change the mind with God's help. Change the mind with God's power. Now, anywhere, anytime, anyhow, I read something, a journal, I hear a message, change the mind now. That's fantastic. So from now on in this study, we're going to include the concept. We're not going to change repentance in our Bibles, but we need to put in the meaning. What's in the meaning? Everything. Everything. So what does repentance mean in the Old Testament and in the New Testament? Old Testament Hebrew, New Testament Greek. Now, this is not a huge language study. I've just got a couple of quick words. Old Testament, the word to repent is shuv. I like that word, shuv. You can say that. You can learn some Hebrew. Shuv. What does shuv mean? It means to come back on the path. It means you're off the path, come back on the path. That sounds like the about face as a fireman or a whatever, policemen, soldiers, they learn how to do about face, turn, change. And the picture in the Old Testament, the picture of sin is the concept of here's the path of life. Here's the path of God. Here's the way. The word Torah in the Old Testament actually means the way, the path, the truth of the path. So sin means to get off the path. It means I'm going along and now I'm make a bad decision and I go off the path. And off the path, you can get lost or there's wolves out there. And repent means, hey, get back on the path. Get back on the path. Many, many times the Old Testament is just calling people, get back on the path. Get back on the path of life. That's a fantastic concept of repentance. Anywhere, anytime, anyhow, you're off the path. Hey, just get back on the path. It doesn't mean you have to go to a church service or have a big penance, confession, and sadness and sorrow ceremony. You know, it's not that. It's about right now, right now, right now. I want to get back on the path. I repent. I change. Lord, help me now. I want to have a new thinking. So sin is getting off the path. Repentance is getting back on the path. How simple is that? The Old Testament people understood that. It was a really clear thing. And, you know, when Jesus came along and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14:6, the Jewish people would have understood the path. He said, I am the path. I am the Torah, the fulfillment of the Torah, the fulfillment of the law and the word. I am the way. And that's where I want to live my life. And repentance means come into the way that God has for us. And in the Old Testament, it was also used of the Old Testament prophets calling people to come back. Come back, come back. And as a pastor, one of my jobs is to say, come back. Come back to Jesus. Come back to grace. Come back to life. Come back to simple habits of Bible reading. Come back to forgiveness. Come back to a right heart. And I'm believing that God can help you anywhere, anytime, anyhow, right now, right now. I believe it right now. I believe it right now. You can come back and just make a decision in this meeting right now, right now. So I'm coming back. New thinking in Jesus' name. Just to give you, I'm just going to move on. Greek is metanoia, change the mind. I've already talked about that. Now, the word in the New Testament for sin is to miss the mark. Old Testament, it's to leave the path. It's also to miss the mark, both those concepts, to miss it, to miss the way. New Testament, sin means hamartia, to miss the mark. It's an archery word where you keep missing the target. Here's a target out here, and I just keep firing arrow. Oh, I missed again. I missed again. And the Bible says all have sinned, New Testament, all have missed the mark. Everyone. Everyone. The Bible also says, that was in, that's in Romans 3:23. All have sinned, missed the mark. Romans 6:23. And the wages of sin is death. The result of missing this mark is death. It's physical death and spiritual death. And that's why we need Jesus, who took our sins on the cross. Took it all. Took it all. Nailed to the cross, all on Jesus, and I receive his righteousness, a great exchange. Wow, that's called grace. Don't you love it? It's awesome. So New Testament, changing the mind, has been bought by Jesus on the cross and on the by the resurrection power. Repentance, then, is a very important New Testament word. 56 times it's used. It's used by so many people. Jesus said, repent, change your thinking, because the kingdom of God's coming close. The power and grace of God is coming close to you. So I want to give you an example. This is point three, an example of true grace, and an example in point four of fake repentance. Point three, true grace and repentance. You ready? Parable of the prodigal son. Father had two sons. One said, Father, give me my money now. Give me my inheritance. The father gives him the money and he goes away and he wastes it with destructive living, wastes it all, and all of a sudden his friends are gone. Friends aren't there anymore. And we begin this process of changing the mind. Repentance starts working. It's true repentance. It's real repentance. And the end of the story is incredible restoration of values, of relationship with God and his father. And we've seen so many of our young Japanese and foreigners deciding to make amends with their fathers and maybe even asking for forgiveness or just saying, Dad, can we have a relationship? And there's a restoration. Change thinking that I can forgive and release people leads to a better future. And this is what happens in the prodigal son. He's wasted all his money from his father, and there's a problem called sin. He's missed the mark. He's off the path of life. He's left the path of life. And all of a sudden, we're going to see a process of repentance or changed the mind. So I'm going to put on my reading glasses. Here we go. This is Luke 15, and we're going to read in verse 17. And when this young man, the son, came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. And so we see the first part of repentance is realizing there's a mistake and there's a better way. There's a mistake. I'm off the path. Something's wrong. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm not okay, and that's not okay anymore. I want to be right with God and right with life. It's this revelation, realization, there's a better way with God. I've got to get back on the path. I've got to get back into what God has for me. So the first thing he starts doing is realizing what he's lost. That's a good start with changing the thinking. I remember when I first got saved and all these bad thoughts, flashbacks. But what changed me was I read the Bible and I knew there was a better way. I knew there was freedom from the devil, freedom from self-pity, freedom from being a victim in life, a poor me, I'm so sad all the time. I had a revelation, there's a better way. And I started to see in church a lot of the leaders had a better way. And I thought, I can see there's a better way. And I heard the word of God being preached, and all I could think of was there's a better way. It wasn't down on myself. It was hope. It was hope, 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 hope. When you start realizing there's a better way, it's not, I've wasted my life. No, it's hope starts coming in, like, I could have that. That could be my life. I want to be like that. Or, wow, God's word says that. Or, my Father in heaven wants me to have that. And this is what happens with the prodigal son. It's called the prodigal son or the runaway son. And he starts to realize there's a better way. It's the first step we read in this. And he realizes he's wrong. And he goes on to say in verse 18, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. And so there is confession here. I don't think we have to confess our sins to someone, but I do think we need to confess our sins to God. God, I'm sorry. I did wrong. I don't want that anymore. It could happen in a flash. It could happen in a moment. You might need to take a bit of time, or it could happen in a moment, the realization, this is bad. Boom. I'm sorry, God. This repentance is getting powerful already. Hasn't yet completed, but it's working. And sometimes there is a process. You hear something here and then something happens here. And as a pastor, I've heard many people say that, you know, at a certain time this happened, I didn't change, but then something else happened or it repeated. And I said, that's it. I've had enough. I want to change. It could be the first time or it could be a process. In fact, there are some people that just learn from the mistakes of others. And that's what it says in Proverbs. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. And it basically says, my son, listen to wisdom. And you could say, my son, my daughter, listen to wisdom. Learn wisdom and avoid pain. That's also repentance. That's a change of thinking, like going, whoa, that really hurt that people. Like when you see someone blow up their marriage with immorality, or and you're looking at it and you think, whoa, that's really painful. That's note to self, huge pain, destroying life. I don't want that. So not judging them, but I'm just saying, wow, that's sad for you. But I've got to learn. I've got to be a learner. When someone is scammed or someone listens to someone negative on YouTube and all of a sudden they lose their joy. I've got to note that. Whoa. Someone was going strong. And as it says in Hebrews 12, the sin sort of cuts in on you, or it says in Galatians, who cut in on you? Where was this shift from joy to no joy, from Holy Spirit back to law? And we can change, and we can learn, and we can grow without going through the thing ourselves. It's not judging others. It's saying, I've got to learn and grow in life. Hey, come on, we've only got one life. Let's grow now. Okay, this guy is saying, Father, he's going to say, he hasn't done it yet. He's got the good intention happening. Something that's not yet happened, but he's in the process. And then he says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired men. Now, this is where this guy goes a bit sad, very sad. And, you know, I would hate for my boys ever to say, Dad, you know, we did something wrong. Make me one of your slaves. I wouldn't like that. They wouldn't like that. You wouldn't like that. And this guy goes overboard. And I think that we're going to learn something. When he meets the father, he's going to try and say this line to the father. The father's going to stop him. We're going to see that in a minute. And but he really wants to change. And then he says, verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. So he got up and went to his father. Repentance, right there. That's it. He changed his mind and it changed his life. He changed his mind with God's help and it changed his life. Now he goes to his father, doesn't know what the reception is like. And it's a beautiful story of the Father God. And it says in the end of verse 20, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. This is the father with us. He ran to his son. He ran to his daughter, if it was a daughter, threw his arms around him and kissed him. That's Middle East kiss on the cheek. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That was part of what he decided. But there's no record here that he said, make me one of your hired men. And I think the reason is that the father's response was so beautiful and so extensive and so heartfelt. And maybe also the father stopped him from saying that line, said, son, you're home. It's enough. You're not going to be a hired servant. I don't want hired servants. I want my son back. And this is the beauty of grace, that the father doesn't want us to be slaves. And the Bible says that when we come to God, we're no longer slaves to fear, no longer slaves to sin. We now have the Holy Spirit, a new nature, new heart, and the Father wants us to be sons and daughters. So repentance is not this eternal sadness and sorrow. It is a change of heart. That's wrong. That's bad. Don't want it any more in my life. And the Father says, quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger. He gets back his authority as a son, sandals on feet, and we're going to have a barbecue. There's a kill the calf. We're going to have a barbecue. This is true repentance. This is a New Testament story of real heart change followed by life change, a better way, realizing new decisions, follow through. Okay, there's also a New Testament example of false repentance or non-repentance, and it comes from Judas Iscariot. And if you want to turn with me to Matthew 27, the word used here is a different word. It's not the word metanoia, change the mind. It's a different word. It's metamelamai, which means to change your concern, to change how you feel about something. Notice that this does not lead to life change. In fact, in Matthew chapter 27, we're going to read that Judas kills himself after using this phrase. He felt regret. I feel bad. I betrayed Jesus. This is Judas's, you know, I'm so bad, and how could I do that? And then he goes and hangs himself. Well, let's have a look at this scripture. Early in the morning, this is after Jesus has been tried and he's going to be crucified very soon. Early in the morning, all the chief priests and elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor. And when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized with remorse. It is not the word repentance. It's a different word. This is my point four, that there's a feeling that doesn't lead to repentance. And I'm not saying all feelings are bad or wrong. All I'm saying is feelings are not the key. The key is the power to change, and then there's change. He felt regret, and then he returned the 30 pieces of silver or coins to the chief priests and the elders. I have sinned, he said, for I have betrayed innocent blood. What is that to us? They replied, that's your responsibility. So Judas threw the money into the temple and left, and he went away and hanged himself. Well, that's not the result of true repentance, is it? It's a different word. It's self-condemnation, self-pity. That's what the devil does. My very last scripture today is going to be a wonderful, wonderful scripture for Christians. I'm going to save it. It's awesome. But fake repentance or false repentance does not lead to a change of life, a change of heart, and a change of life. So I'm going to go down here to my point number seven. Where does this life change come from? Where does it come from? Where does this change of mind come from? Why did the prodigal son change and went back to his father, and there was beautiful life together? Where does it come from? Well, it comes from the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read you some scriptures because it's going to encourage you that life change is not about effort. I've got to change. I've got to change. I've got to do better. I've got to do better. Oh, God, I'm so bad. I've got to do better. And why am I not worthy to be your son? And I'm not. No, 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 no. Repentance is got great fruit. The Old Testament scripture I love here is Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27. I was so excited as a pastor, one of our new Christians in Sendai. I was teaching on this scripture. I'll give you a new heart, says God. And this new Christian was learning how to journal, read the Bible. I say, God, speak to me. And he read this scripture that very week. And then I spoke about it. It's sort of incredible because Ezekiel 36 is not your normal scripture to read for a new Christian. Of course, you can read anywhere. It's just usually people read, you know, Gospel of Mark or something awesome. This is also awesome. It's just sort of hidden in Ezekiel. There's this treasure. So here we go. Treasure from Ezekiel 36, verse 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Where does this repentant, godly repentance come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit in our lives, the ability to think afresh, think new, like, whoa, there's a better way. What am I doing? And then say, I want that way. And then say, God, help me. And there's a change of mind and a change of action. The New Testament scripture I've got is Titus chapter 2, verse 11 to 12. And this is the fulfillment of what we read in Ezekiel. It says, Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It, what's that? It, grace. What's grace? Grace is Jesus. Jesus appeared. It, Jesus, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Where does this repentance, godly change come from? From the Holy Spirit changing us, the grace of God, Jesus, I'm now forgiven. I'm a son and you're a son and daughter. And whoa, Holy Spirit, you're speaking to me and there's a better way. And I want that better way. I want that better marriage or that better job with God's help or that better attitude or better words. Just this week, one of our new converts was saying, our new believers in Jesus here in Tokyo were saying they used to curse. And all of a sudden I thought, what am I doing? I want to get rid of that. So that's not the law. That's this internal system of why would I do that when I can have this? And that young man's got a great future, I can tell. This grace in Jesus is in us. The concept of repentance or changing the mind is in us already. It's in you. Read it and say, God, help me. Holy Spirit, change me. Change my desires. Let me see differently. Let me see as you see. There's another great scripture here. It's in Romans 2:4. It talks about the goodness of God. Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? It's God's kindness that leads us to want to, whoa, there's a better way. There's a change of mind. Whoa, I could, wow, what? Why am I mean to people when I could change? Or why do I speak that way when I could just stop with God's help? Or why? That's repentance, changing. It's God's goodness. It's the goodness of God. It's not law. It's the goodness of God. I've got some more. 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. So one side, godly sorrow is the prodigal son side, leads to salvation, no regrets. Well, I left that old thing. Worldly sorrow brings death. That's the Judas Iscariot concept. It's emotional. It doesn't lead to good things. And I believe it's really important that we understand that there's no regret with this change of mind. Now, sometimes it's hard to give up things like, do I have to do that? But there's such a change of heart that it's, yeah, I'm going to, for the sake of God, my future, my family, my kids, yeah, me, good health, mental health, yeah, it's worth the cost. Godly sorrow brings a change of mind that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Preaching, God can use preaching or teaching. Today you could hear this and say, yeah, that's what I want. Listen to this, Acts 2:37 to 39. This is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Change your thinking. Change all of you. Change your thinking. God's going to allow you to change your thinking and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. This change of life is going to affect you and your kids and the world. Come on. Here's my last scripture. Are you ready? As sons and daughters of God, the concept of changing my mind is positive. My Father is going to talk to me. The Holy Spirit is going to talk to me. My Lord Jesus is going to talk to me through his word and then through the Holy Spirit. Godly sorrow that leads to no regret, okay? And here's the last scripture. It's in Romans 8:1. I love it. Therefore, For us in Jesus, come on, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. There's no condemnation. That condemnation thing, oh, so bad. That's not repentance. Get rid of all that and just say, Lord, help me change. I want to change. There's a better way. There's a better future. When I hear your word and positive, and sometimes it's a little hard, and there's a warning here and a warning there, but it's all good because it's about a positive life. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it overflowing. This first stone, well, the first one's Jesus. It's all Jesus, the foundation of Jesus. I'm building my life, but I'm going to build my marriage and my future and my jobs and then my kids and then my friendships and my dreams and visions. And I'm going to keep building. And it doesn't matter how high I build, as long as I've got built upon Jesus. And then this change of thinking, I'm going to build high. I'm going to build wide. God has an amazing future for you. And even when the storms come and there's rocking, my life, our lives, do not fall over. They are established. And the best is yet to come. Lord, I pray today as we think about change the mind with God's help, that we're going to realize it's not about feeling something or doing it again and again, but it's a revelation, better life in you. Your word is true. Your ways are good. We're going to see good godly modeling in the church and in people, and we're going to have great friends around us who help us and move us towards Jesus. And we're going to make right decisions, and we're going to say, yes, this is good. This is what I want for me. And I want to get married, and I want to have a good family, and I want to have a good job, and I want a good health, and help me make right decisions. I want to be based upon Jesus and now upon change thinking with God's help. Right now, speak to me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. What a great, great concept. Have an amazing week. God bless you.
Hi, thank you for joining us today. We hope this episode was interesting and helpful to you. If it was, you can let us know by rating, reviewing, sharing, and commenting on the episode. That'll help us know what you're enjoying and what topics we should focus on in the future. If you haven't yet, make sure you subscribe to get these episodes as soon as they drop every month. And we'll see you in the next episode of The Rodcast.